Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vonta. Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vonta automates compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vonta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vonta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get a special offer of $1,000 off at vonta.com/EU Startups. That's vanta.com/EU Startups.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups podcast. My guest today is Joaquin Cuenca, co-founder and CEO of FreePic, one-stop platform for all the cool solutions, content, and inspiration you need to express the power of your ideas. Joaquin, welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to have you. Bootstrapping a company to around $300 million valuation is super rare. What were the toughest calls you made early on, personally and professionally, to keep growing, you know, without raising capital?
I think that a big one here, I'm talking personally, was to forget a little bit of the baggage that I had. You know, my previous venture was creating Panoramia. That was also a bootstrap company that was acquired by Google in 2007. And there at Google, I spent 3 years. So you see more of the corporate side of a big US company. So you start to understand what is a PM, you know, what is a... You start to see like all the different roles. You see that it's not like single people doing everything. You get exposed to how a modern American company, tech company works. And coming back to Spain, I think a big part of being bootstrap again, it was, okay, let's undo part of that learning, okay, so that we come back to basics. Maybe we don't need a PM just now. Maybe we don't need, you know, you don't need like all the infrastructure there.
Right.
You don't need, you're starting doing things. You don't need to start writing unit tests. You don't need to start having a solid deployment process. Mm-hmm. And you just go the bare minimum to get product out of the door, to see if there is traction on those products, and then you react to that traction. Okay, that makes sense. So I think that for me was a little bit like doing this and learning. And of course it came because of the fantastic co-founders that they have here. Mm-hmm. They didn't have this trajectory. So naturally they were very, very boots on the ground. Okay, they were very much about just doing what needed to be done. And if you want to again get a little bit into the environment and how we created the company. Okay, so it happened that I landed here in Malaga. I started sharing an office with a couple of guys called Manu and Alejandro.
Yeah.
They were also sharing office with Alejandro's brother, Pablo. And all of them, they had like different startup websites. Okay, so on one side you had Manu, that had BeSoccer, what is today BeSoccer. On the other side, Alejandro's brother, he has a stock website, a website with images that were on sale. He was a photographer. Alejandro was a little bit in the middle. I started helping them. So we started to make BeSoccer growth on one hand. Mm-hmm. And on the evenings, Alejandro started creating this thing that is now FreePic. Okay, so it came out as a side project of a stock photography website. Okay. And it came out because of out of a personal need. He needed to get images that were free because, again, we were back to the basics.
It's oftentimes that founders just solve the problem that they encounter by themselves, right? Or like in some closed environment of theirs.
It is very common. I think that very often we go for the things that give you the extra 10%, the last mile, and we forget about the core things, okay? I was I was chatting with a PM that we have, and I was mentioning that sometimes we get into user interviews, we get into user research, we got into looking at competitors, and we forget to use ourselves the product,
right.
Okay, which is like number one. So it was a little bit like when you really use your product, you can get a lot of mileage out of that experience. You know, and when you do it just for you, it's actually a fantastic use case. Like, you know everything about it, super fast feedback, even if it works or if it doesn't. So we started working on that, and immediately was a huge success in terms of traffic. And that was basically the only KPI that we tracked. It was traffic, okay? From our previous experience, we knew how to monetize traffic with ads. It's the only monetization that we had used before. So we slapped some ads on the website, and that allowed us to hire an engineer and then another one. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one thing led to the other. I will say that the biggest breakthrough in Freebie history was when we changed from being a search engine of content that was available on third-party platforms to hosting the content ourselves.
Yeah.
And that came also out of necessity. There were a few things lingering in the environment that led us to take this unusual decision. This is very unusual because nobody does that. Okay, Shutterstock doesn't do that. iStock doesn't do that. Yeah. They all host like third-party content. No, nobody gets into creating themselves the content. On one side, initially, we were not hosting the content at all. It was hosted on third party. So we were like a Google, we were like a search engine. But the problem is that we were losing track of customer experience when they left the platform. So if they click on, okay, I want to download this asset, if the asset was broken, if the onboarding process of the other website was cumbersome, if the asset in practice was low quality, if something failed, we were not able to see it at all. Okay, we only saw the data that we had on our own platform. So that was one problem. And the other one is that contrary to Google, we were not indexing millions or billions of websites. Okay, we were indexing 15. And that was what made us special. Okay, it was a very curated set of search results. It was not all over the place. Okay? Just images that were available for free with the right license. But 15 is a very little number. And what happened is the biggest of them all asked us to remove their content from our platform, which was unusual because we gave them a lot of traffic. So people usually were very happy with that. Okay, but he didn't like that. And he asked us to remove his content. And of course we complied, but then he had 2/3 of our collection, of the whole collection. Okay. It was a big blow. We went down from 1.5 million assets down to 500,000 assets. Mm. And it showed us that we were extremely weak. You know, it's like it's the power law. Like, there are very few people that are going to have the vast majority of the content. So, but the power law, you can use it to your advantage also. It is with very little effort that you can get like maximum impact. Okay, so we decided to flip it. And okay, if it was so easy to lose 2/3 of the content, it should be also easy to recover at least 2/3 of the utility that we had before. And we hired designers. We hired designers to create the content that we saw people were using on our platform. Okay, so we went to our platform, we checked the logs of what people were looking for, and we commissioned exactly the content that they were looking for. Yeah. So it was, in a way, a very targeted creation that very soon made us independent. A couple of years later, we actually shut down third parties completely, and we started just giving our own content because it was a much better experience than jumping between different websites. Mm.
I heard the dog also enjoying the story and agreeing with you.
Yeah, if it's not the kids, it's going to be the dog. So.
Right. There's always somewhere, huh? So, Joaquin, how does FreePeak, I already know the origins and story behind it. Sounds super cool. Joaquin, how does FreePeak differentiate itself from competitors? And what unique value propositions do you offer to your users? So if you had to pitch free pick in the elevator, what would be your elevator pitch for the user?
Well, I think that one of the reasons why we didn't raise money is because we are not extraordinary at elevator pitches, okay? But I will do my best. Okay, let me start by saying that we tried to solve, we saw that in the market there was a difficulty from people in being creative. People are creative, but they are not able to express that creativity. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One of them is that often the tools that we use to create things are complex, okay? They often are an evolution of past tools, and they have not been rethought completely, and they are more complex than what they need to be. And the other issue is that very often people don't know how to start from scratch. They need some tips into what makes a good design, okay? So we come from that world. We come from, okay, we will not tackle the technical difficulties, okay, but we will tackle the creative, like, blank page difficulty. Yeah. We will give people a starting point that is much closer to what they want, okay? And over the years, we have started, especially recently, taking the, covering like the last mile, okay? We see that people now use those complex tools to edit the content that we create rather than to create content from scratch. So it's even worse than before, because a big part of the complexity now is just getting in the middle. You don't need it at all. It's very different when you design a tool to create something from scratch than when you design a tool to edit something existing. You can go much more to the point, okay? Right. And of course, in the last few years, we have seen a tremendous evolution of the web platform, where it used to be extremely difficult to be competitive in terms of editing features online, and now it's becoming more and more trivial. I would say that now it's actually relatively simple, and it's affordable by many, many different companies to do the technical side. And the leverage that we still have is that we remove the creative block that many people have. And that was, I will say, the pitch until 2021, 2022, when Gen AI emerged, okay? And I want to be honest here, Gen AI initially like completely changed my world. So when it showed up, my first reaction was like, does it mean that what we do is obsolete, or, you know, how does this work? And I came to the realization that our mission was essentially the same as it was before Gen AI. Okay, that we were here to help people express their ideas. With Gen AI, we just have another, a very powerful tool to help people do that, just like we used templates before. So I came to realize that creating templates is not our end goal. It's the means that we have to help people reach, you know, their end goal. Then AI is another tool to do that. And that's why we have been so active at creating an AI suite that helps people create whatever they want to create.
Awesome. Joaquin, you know, going farther from the company's inception, for the story, for its unique value proposition, you know, growing from a small startup to a global company with, like, I don't know, 500 plus or 600 plus employees, and like thousands of contributors, is no small feat. What were the key drivers that, you know, powered these expansions?
Okay, I think the key driver to that help us grow so strongly, it has been our focus on users. That will be the number one. As I mentioned, it's the only KPI that we really trace. So everything that we did was to grow in popularity. And the growth in popularity gave us more opportunities to do new things, to help those people. And that led to naturally to hire more people to fulfill those needs. Okay, so I think it all falls in place from the from the first, I mean, the core principle here was we want to attract more people. And we did many things to do that. We have prices that are way below our competitors. We were way more affordable than them. And we measured the traction with higher prices. And we saw that with higher prices, you get fewer people joining, but at a higher price, it may be worth it. It was kind of the same. So we took the conscious decision to keep the prices low so that we got more users joining.
Right.
It was for many, many years, it was the only KPI. It's total monthly active users that we got on the platform. And this had to grow. When we canceled a project, it was because it was not getting traction on monthly active users, not on revenue. Okay. So maybe the deeper question is, how did we got such a growth in users, okay, that led to us understanding better what they needed and creating more features and hiring more people? The things that we did is we actually only did one acquisition channel well. And that's SEO, okay? And that one we did very well, I think, okay? So we understood, we already were pretty good at SEO, but we understood very well how it works in our industry. So you see, you look at Freebie, you still have some vestiges of our first actions to get good at SEO, which is if you download free content, you have to attribute Freebie, okay? So you have to put a link to Freebie. That gave us a tremendous number of links all over the place, okay? We were never active chasing those links, except for a few highly ranked institutions. So if we saw the University of Oxford using our icons, we asked, please, to add a link to us, you know, and they did it. It was usually an oversight when they didn't comply, okay? So we became very good at getting linked by most people that use Freebie. That was a tremendous number of people. Instead of charging people, again, if the focus is not revenues, it's users, you know, your strategy is slightly different. So instead of charging people for those free assets, we got those links that boosted our SEO position. And in our company, we actually consider top of the funnel, not the user on Freebie, but top of the funnel was the user searching on Google. Okay, that's how the experience worked. Is somebody doesn't know about Freebie, doesn't know about anything about design, but wants an image to say, hey, Merry Christmas or whatever, they search on Google for the image. And that's where the experience starts. So if we are not there on the first page, you know, we're toast. We need to understand how we can get content that is good enough to be there. And then when the user clicks, we need to deliver. So it's not okay to put a paywall, you know, on as first experience. We want to charge money at the end of the day, but it's going to be, in our case, it's a much longer journey. We try to give a good experience to people coming from Google, okay? And I think that's why we got so big in a way. I mean, that was our success.
Yeah. Joaquin, how do you actually support this community of creatives? Because it grew quite huge. Has the integration of AI impacted your workforce in any way? Like, has there been any job displacement or major role shifts as a result?
Yes. So first of all, your question on how the credit company kind of came to be.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that we're focusing on traffic. We got a very popular kind of platform where we were putting our content, the content that we created. And of course, when you have plenty of eyeballs, you will have people wanted to sell their images to. Okay. Yeah. We started doing like one-on-one deals initially, and then we made it more systematic. Where people can enroll as a contributor and they could push their content. And we made their content available only to premium users. We made our stuff like available for free, yeah. Content from third parties to premium users. And that somehow has worked very well. Like contributors usually don't want to see their images used by free users because they think that may like diminish perceived value of the content. And it's a very good monetization for us. You know, you get way more content if you subscribe. So that's how creators come. And the second part of the question is, how has AI changed the data dynamics, both for creators and for the company? Yeah. For creators, we got many people that have started using those new AI tools to create assets. And I think we were one of the first stock companies that allowed the usage of AI-generated assets. For us, it's a misnomer. The assets are not AI-generated. They're generated by a person using AI, okay? Yeah. And that has, first of all, it has given us like a tremendous number of new assets, but also plenty of complexities. Like, we are receiving now 20 times the number of assets that we were receiving 1 year ago. Okay, so you can imagine in terms of review, in terms of, it is just a different scale, okay? So it has been very challenging. We accept automatically all the AI content, and we are still like creating, fine-tuning tools to detect bad content in the AI generated content one. So we started with content that is using like copyrighted characters. We take it down. Now we are going for content that is almost a copy of another content. It's very close. Okay, and we want to take it down. The approach has been different. Instead of hiring more people, we need to also scale up the means to curate that content, okay? And in the internal company, we have not done any firing because of AI, but everybody had to rethink how they work because of AI, okay? So starting with engineers, most of them are using tools like Copilot that is making some of them like incredibly efficient. Right. You actually don't know what is going to be the size of the companies of tomorrow, okay, because of that, because now a single person can get so much more mileage than a few years ago. And designers is the other big one, okay, so we got a big team of people working in, for example, in photo production, so we move from the photo production to AI production. The AI assets that we produce, they still have a lot of post-processing because we clean them a lot. Yeah. And, you know, those people, especially people that are working on the content creation, they are the ones that have been affected the most. Some of them have shifted to marketing. Some of them have shifted to the AI team, surprisingly. So you get some people that are very good at photography, understanding when a photo is high quality or not, that they are now comfortable. They are now comfortable creating ComfUI workflows and, you know, it's using creating AI workflows. So that's empowering some of the latest tools that we're creating. So in general, there has been a lot of change into what we do with those people. There have not been any firings directly because of AI optimizations or something like that.
That's good. That's good to hear. Joaquin, what was your most expensive fuck up, and what did you learn from it?
I need to pick up a fuck up that doesn't involve external people. Otherwise, and that's. Okay, let me say that in general, for people listening, you should be skeptical of advice that you get on the internet because it's heavily curated. Okay, right. People rarely get into the really the worst of things. My most expensive fuck up. Listen, I will take out free pick of I will take it out of here. I will say that in general, an expensive fuck up, it's been to try to be too much like Google when you are not Google. Now, it was my kind of experience that I had that made me like a grown up. Okay, I went as somebody that had an idea. I was a good developer, you know, PHP. And I came to this big company, and that's how things work. Okay, that's how I got it. That's how things work. So it was trying to shape Freebig too much, a little bit too much, like Google. And sometimes you start hiring people that you don't know exactly what is that they do, that they should do. And it's not their fault, it's your fault. You know, in this case, it was my fault. And it's unfair to everybody. Like when you try, when you get people that you don't have a very clear idea what's the added value, why you need them in the company right now. Mm-hmm. And your excuse for doing that is that you read a book that says that you need people like that.
Right.
I think you will not be able to, you will not be able to help those people succeed at your company. It will. You will need to step back into a lot of those things. Okay, and it's always painful because it's very painful to tell people that they are not a good fit for the company. And to be honest, most of the time it's actually our fault. It's like we were not understanding in the first place what we needed. Okay. So I will say, like, kind of keep it real. Like, try to understand what you really need. Stop copying others. They have a very different environment, and you actually don't know if they were successful because of the reasons that they believe made them successful. Okay,
right.
It was for other things. Like, for example, taking again Google as an example, Google was a rocket. Okay, it was making money at a tremendous growth with kind of a single trick, which was online ads. Yeah. Well, you don't know if all the organization that they did internally was actually helping or not. They were just anyway growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know, I think that will be it. Like not keeping it real, forgetting, not having a real purpose for everyone that you bring to the company.
Joaquin, if you could go back in time, if you could time travel and give yourself, you know, when you were just starting FreePeak, where you could give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
Listen, I don't know, because the thing is that some of the decisions that they took them, I think they were very, very much on point. Like I can give you one that I remember. Again, I mentioned that I had to unlearn a few things. Okay, mm-hmm. I remember I was once getting in the morning to the office, and Alejandro, Ale, he was with a big like industrial like wind blower. I don't know the English name or something. Uh-huh. He was blowing the hell out of an old server carcass that we had at the office, and there were like dust all over in the whole street. This mm-hmm. thing was. And I say, you know, what the fuck are you doing here, man? I say, well, I'm repurposing like this carcass because this is gonna be our new NAS, our new like server to host all the images. We just bought like 8 hard drives for peanuts, and we are gonna plug them here.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you know, why don't you store it on S3 or something? It's gonna be more scalable, more. And then you run the math. And H3, it was just incredibly expensive compared to that solution.
Yeah.
And of course, you have the, you know, any computer scientist that is listening to this will be, okay, but it's not scalable. It can fail on any time. You know, it can catch fire and then you lose everything. It can, there are many reasons why it didn't work. Well, the server actually never failed. At some point, we just stopped it because it was not economical anymore. We jumped to another, to a bigger one.
Yeah.
But it never failed. A few hard drives failed, but you know, they were in a raid. We were able to change them. It worked beautifully, and it cost peanuts. Mm-hmm. So we were actually, from day one, we run the company with a positive EBITDA. We have always kept an EBITDA that is close to 50% of revenue, which is way bigger than any other company, tech company that I know of, at least. Mm-hmm. And I think that flexibility to don't keep with what you know, but you know, being flexible to different solutions that you know may be faulty, you know, are not perfect, but you also understand that they have some positive side. I think that was important.
Stay open to that notion, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, there is not much that I regret from the way we...
That's good.
Pretty big. Yeah, it was, I, you know, now Ale and Pablo, they are no longer in the company. They left the company. A big part of getting equity in is because they were stressed, especially Ale. He went through a very rough patch. So maybe, you know, something, I very much miss Ale and Pablo in the day-to-day operations. So it's like, what should we have done so that they, you know, were happier in a way?
Stay together.
Yeah, try to think of it as a marathon. Don't sprint every time. Make it a little bit softer. We certainly needed better ways to understand when the site had any issue, so it didn't rely on us every time to know, oh, it's down. What's going on? It's down. It's 4 a.m. It's down. You know, and including people. And we got that for many years, and you can understand how stressful it can be. So probably the thing that I regret the most is that we are now, the three of us, still together in the company, and that's a consequence of the stressful times that we had in the company.
We're getting almost to the end of this lovely podcast. When you're not building FreePeak and working on its vision, what is Joaquin all about? What are you all about?
Well, I'm first and foremost.
Outside of work.
Outside of work. Okay. So I'm a father. I have three lovely kids, like a girl, boy, and girl. I like to enjoy sometimes reading, watching cinema, but I honestly didn't get much of any of those things, like between the group and
right, like running a company and having three children, like
when I have some free time, honestly I don't enjoy reading like management books. I have some of them which are fantastic to fall asleep. But then, you know, when I want to enjoy something, I prefer science fiction. Like, when I was younger, I was very much a geek. I love technology, and, you know, out of the three of us, I was much more like the tech guy rather than the photographer. So that's something that I enjoy. I enjoy tinkering with computers. Reading about algorithms, that it's so it will be a mixture of science fiction, and then some math, some computer science. I always loved computers since I was a little kid, and spending time with my kids.
Sounds good, Joaquin. Joaquin, it was lovely having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. I enjoyed talking to you a lot. I could listen to you for hours. All the best, and I'll talk to you soon. Hope to see you soon in Barcelona and cook some Indian for you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Marcin.